Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
May we direct our attention to the reading of God's Word. If you would, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 4. That's on page 959 in the Pew Bibles. And I'm going to introduce Kurt, who used to be an elder here, one of our pastors. That would be this guy right here getting coffee. I'm going to introduce him to come up for the reading of God's word.
Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of service, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Let's pray. Lord God, you are a good God who gives good gifts to your people. And Lord, one of the best gifts is what we're celebrating now, that you got to send your son, you sent your son down to earth to rescue your people. And I just pray that as we're in this Christmas season, that we wouldn't just confess with our mouth that you are Lord, but we would believe it and feel it with our souls. And Lord, that we would live by your Spirit. Lord, that you would grow your gifts among your people. And Lord, that we would know we are yours, and that we would be encouragers of one another, and we would be lovers of one another, and we'd be filled with your Spirit. I pray that you'd be with Bobby as he preaches this word to us this morning, that our hearts would be open, that we would hear what we need to hear for our own lives, to empower us to go out and preach the word to our neighbors and our world and our families. It's in Jesus' name I pray these things.
Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Kurt. It's good to see you, man. All right. How are we doing on those slides, John? All right, cool. So we are in a series right now where we're talking about the spiritual gifts. And I want to start by quoting a King's Kaleidoscope song called Breathing Infinity. The lyrics go like this. Remember what it felt like to believe. Remember running wild and living free. Remember when the magic was a mystery. Now all the fuss is just faith without the rush. But then it says, wait, did the rainbow fade? We won't see beyond our feet, staring down, afraid to leap. When it comes to spiritual gifts or even just the simple Christian life of faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith, or the righteous shall walk by faith. Fear keeps us from the leap of faith. Our need for control quenches our confidence to jump, and the what ifs keep us wandering on the edge of the cliff, afraid to jump. Staring at our feet, or we won't see beyond our feet, staring down, afraid to leap. I remember going on a retreat it was a pastor's retreat. So we had young pastors and old pastors, and it was this kind of cool combination as we strived for unity in this large growing church. And we were at the top of Yosemite Falls. And we were jumping into the younger guys specifically. We're jumping into these huge pools, like jumping off cliffs, having the time of our lives. And I always remember there was this one of the pastors there, one of the older pastors, didn't bring a bathing suit, which was fine. But he was determined to jump into one of the smaller, cliffs, kind of, actually smaller cliff, about a 10-foot jump into a pool. And he, it was very, well, I'll just say awkward, because he didn't want to get his shorts wet. So he's standing there in his skivvies at the top of this pool, ready to jump in. And we're like jumping by him and doing, you know, one of our friends is doing gainers and backflips and whatever. And he just stood there. And we kept encouraging him, like, hey, bro, like, the longer you stay up there, the longer it's going to be, it's harder to leap. Like, just jump, just jump, just jump. And then one of the other pastors was like, just give him some time. He'll jump. He must have stood there for a half an hour, and he never jumped. He slowly put his shorts on. Now, that's not sinful. That's not wrong. But I think it's a good analogy when we talk about the Christian faith, is sometimes in our faith, like, we forget what it was like when we first believe. A childlike faith running wild and living free. When the magic of faith and the wonder was like a mystery of, like, who God is and, like, how in the world does God love me? I don't even understand. But over time, all the fuss is just faith without the rush. In other words, we forget. You see that line right there? Wait, did the rainbow fade? It simply means, did the promises of God fade? So let me ask you this. Have the promises of God for you and your life faded? How about this side? Have the promises of God for you and your life faded? No, they have not. And so the call to spiritual gifts, the call to the Christian life, is to engage. The song goes on to say, go, jump into the wonder. And that's my main point this morning. Jump into the wonder. Chapter 12, verse 4. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Now that word varieties there means this: to divide and distribute to persons on the basis of certain implied distinctions and differences. So in other words, the body of Christ is diverse. Amen? Not just our church, like the body of Christ. See, the body of Christ is invisible. It's made up of all people of all time in all places that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. It includes churches that don't use guitar or drum. It includes churches that heat up the organ. It includes churches that have no music at all. It includes all people of all time that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation, the diverse body of Christ. Amen? Now, one of the reasons some are filled with fear is because we take our version of church and our experience with God and say, this is it. This is it. Maybe you haven't experienced that. But I know in my past, I have. Like, coming from more of a conservative background, I was kind of pushed into. I remember the first Bible study I ever went to, when I first was kind of checking out Jesus and figuring it out, they literally taught me how to speak in tongues. They put me in a big group surrounded by all these people that I looked up to, and they laid hands on me, and they said, open your mouth. So I was like, ah. And then they're just like, just talk. And I was like, I just kept doing that. Like, I had no idea. But then out of pure pressure, I just simply went, shit about a Hyundai or something like that. Like I just fell under the pressure, because what their experience of Christianity was, this is what you have to experience. But as we just saw in 1 Corinthians, there are varieties within the body of Christ. Randy has called me out. He's one of our deacons. Sometimes the way I preach, especially when I'm speaking about worship, with hands lifted high, when I'm up here, I'm kind of doing the two-step shuffle, I'm crying, I'm dropping my knees. Basically, I freak out when I worship Jesus. That's what I do. But sometimes people that worship more inwardly, like Randy does, but just as devoted, can feel judged by me or less than. And I love the fact that he has called me out. And if that's you, I want to apologize that if I've made you feel that way. Now, I will say this, though, as a side note, some of y'all need to step up your worship game. I'm not saying you have to get all, like, freak out like I do up here in the front row. But some of you can just engage just a little bit more. Let's just take baby steps. Right, says our worship leader. Come on now. Amen. Variety, diversity, different styles. And the main reason Paul is addressing the Corinthians in our text this morning was that there was those who were spiritually arrogant. Spiritual arrogance, causing an elitism about some of the more prominent spiritual gifts. So those that spoke in tongue and prophesied began to like have this elitism, like I experienced, similar to the first Bible that I studied that I went to, that it was just like, oh, you don't speak in tongues? Well, you're not experiencing the fullness of God. It's like, oh, well, I guess I better step into that. Well, that there's a subconscious elitism that comes with that. Now, we talked about this in the pros and cons part two of charismaticism, of the charismatic movement, all the way back in September 18th. So please go and listen to that if you want to know more about that. But the bottom line is that Paul's addressing, like, those that spoke in tongues and prophesied within service, they're just like, oh, you don't speak in tongues? And there was, like, this arrogance that came with it, like I do. I had a word from the Lord yesterday. How about you? No. Oh. See, I was just like that kind of. And the interesting thing is, just like I talked about in that sermon on September 18th, it still happens today. This spiritual elitism. But one of the things that I wanted to encourage our people and our church as we walk through the spiritual gifts is those that might be cessationists, which believes that the gifts of prophecy and tongues have ceased. Man, I've met some brothers that are cessationists that are fully filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit when they preach. It's diverse. And it's not something that we wrap, our version of Christianity is not something we wrap our hand around. It's short-sighted at best. And so in verse 6 and 7, we see not only this diversity and this variety within the body of Christ, and that's Paul's point. He's like, hey, there's a variety of gifts, there's a variety of service. Like, chill out. Don't be so uptight and arrogant in your thing because of this. Look at verse 6. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who, what? Empowers them all in everyone. So in other words, the person that kind of takes on the mantle of a Mother Teresa that silently serves those in need in the background, she is just as empowered as the one who preaches. God empowers. It's the God of the universe that empowers all, each of us, and everyone. And then we see as a bookend, verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. See, the gifts have variety, but we also see in verse, empowers to grant the, so the word empowers means to grant the ability to do or to achieve. And so what we see is God, every single one of us, if you believe in Jesus, has received a gift. All of us. And it's to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to use within the body of Christ. Now look at verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The word manifestation in the Greek means to cause or to make possible a particular function. See, the Spirit causes or makes possible your gifting for what? For the common good. The common good, as we've talked about before, for the building up or to the increased potential of others within the body of Christ. And so we see the gifts have variety. They're empowered by God, a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, and as the Spirit wills. We saw that in verse 11. Also note, it says this in our text, everyone to each and each one. Is that leaving anybody out? No, it's not. And so here's the interesting thing about spiritual gifts, especially if you're joining us, you haven't been with us in a while, is that you have a gift and or gifts from the Holy Spirit. It's kind of an undeniable truth within Scripture. So the bigger question isn't if you have one, but what is it and are you being a good steward of it? Those are the questions that we've been kind of asking and like promoting throughout this entire series. The hope is that you would jump into the wonder of the variety and diversity of the body of Christ, to jump into the wonder. Because that's going to be the point of spiritual gifts. Like, how do you know if you have a gift? Well, the Bible says you have it. Are you going to believe it? Yes. So then how do you know what your gift is? Well, we've mentioned many things before, like jump in and start serving. See what other people say about how you're gifted and how you're talented. Just put yourself in situations where God, like the only way I can get through this is if God shows up. And then see God show up to jump into the wonder. I love this picture. This picture is, I kind of whited it out so I could put words over the top, but there's this guy standing on that rock over this huge valley. Can you imagine if he jumped? It's not going to go well for him. But here's the thing about the Christian life, is that we are called to step, live by faith. Now, faith means that we're not sure what's going to be under our foot, but when we step, we have a confidence in God that he will uphold us. And so the hope is that all of us will jump into the wonder of living by faith into the gifts that we have. Today we look at, it's a lot, so that's why I'm kind of going fast. Faith, healing, miracles, and discernment. Faith, healing, miracles, and discernment. Here we go. Starting in verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are, again, empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So number one, all those other ones except for tongues we've talked about, tongues is next week. Who's excited? I am. All right. So first thing, faith. To another, the gift of faith. Faith by the same Spirit. The first thing I think it's important for us to know about faith is that your faith right now is a gift. In other words, the faith that you have that saved you is a gift. Amen? That's really important because look what it says in Ephesians 2:8, a very common verse. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Now, usually we think just simply salvation or maybe grace, but faith, well, that was me. Like I had to establish faith or step into faith. But it says in this text, even when you parse it in the Greek and take it all apart, your faith is a gift. It's a gift. And it's to be stewarded and to be grown in. What is faith? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And how I like to define faith is confidence, a growing confidence in God. In other words, when you see a promise of God for you in your life, do you believe it? That's called faith. And where this gets real, where this gets like down to like where the rubber meets the road and how you live your life is like, you are a son or a daughter of the living King. Do you believe that? Let me try it again. I love some participation. You are a son or a daughter of the living King. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, on the basis of what are you, and I'll answer this for you, are you a son or a daughter of the living King? It's based on Christ living, dying, and rising for you. Not by your works, not by like some sort of like I materialize some sort of effort, but by the grace of God, which means unmerited favor, you have been saved. And the gift of who you are in Christ. Now, here's the crazy thing. When we're in, you know, everybody close your eyes. I want you to think about the very worst sin you've committed. Are you there? Everybody, look up at me. Do you believe that God forgave you for that sin? Do you believe that that sin no longer defines you anymore? And that you were set free from that sin? Then live differently. That's where, like, the rubber meets the road in regards to the promises of faith. You guys with me? It's like that idea of faith. Okay, I have a lot to say. I've got to move on. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's like the rainbow never fades. The promises of God never, ever, ever fade. Even as you get older in the faith. And so the call is to come back. To come back and to jump into the wonder like a child into his father's arms. Now we are called to grow in our faith, all of us as Christians. But some have a special anointing to move mountains. Have you met such a person? I've met a few in my life where it's just like, that is an unsurmountable task. The only way that can happen is if God shows up and they're like, yep. And they just fully believe. And it's just like, you know, it's like, are you sure about that? And it's like, yep, God's going to come through. Some people have a gift of faith. If you want to study who has gifts of faith in Scripture, read the rest of Hebrews chapter 11. It's called the Hall of Faith. And you can see these acts of faith of people that have just this amazing amount of faith. Now, how do you know if you have the gift of faith? Again, you are called to grow in your faith. Your faith that you have is a gift. But God may specifically and especially like grant you this amazing ability of faith. The only way to find out is to jump. The only way to find out is to jump. Is to actually have faith. Like for really, really big things. And pray for those things. And tell people. Like God has given me some words. And I'm pretty sure I have faith. I have a lot of faith. But I don't think I have the gift of faith. Do you know why? Because God has given me some words for this church, and I'm a little hesitant to tell you what they are because I'm not really sure if God will come through. That's a confession. Just being honest. But if you do have faith, continue that faith and jump into the wonder. Number two, healing. All of us, in a sense, have been healed. He bore, look at it, says it in 1 Peter 2:4. Which is a quote from Isaiah. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. By his wounds you have been healed. And we also see that there's an anointing within the local church and the elders of that church. James chapter 5 up on the screen. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And so we see that all of us in one sense have been healed, and we see within the local church there's a sense of healing. Do you guys believe that God heals today? Yeah? Do you? Because he does. He does heal. But some have a specific gift to heal. Like, for instance, Peter, when he locked eyes on the invalid in the front of the temple, and he says, silver and gold I have not, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. Rise and walk. So how do you know if you have the gift of healing? As I've testified before, I know that there's been seasons of my life where I've had the gift of healing, where there was just, somewhat of a short season, but when I'd pray for healing, my hands would heat up. And I would see God answer that prayer. But then over time, that gift began to fade. I don't know, maybe it was me or God just by his grace and the variety of how he wanted to use me. So how do you know if you have the gift of healing? It's time to jump into the wonder and start praying for the sick. When's the last time you prayed for someone that was sick? Like, jump in. Like, there's people next to you that need prayer. After service, just go, hey, I want to pray for you. And see if God doesn't answer that prayer, and you may have the gift of healing. So with that, though, have you ever wondered why it's always in some, like, third world missions that healing and miracles happen, like, the majority of time? Have you ever wondered that? Like, there's this, like, this crazy thing that we see it. Like, there's some here that in our congregation that pretty consistently see some pretty crazy things as far as miraculous and healing. But it seems to me that the majority of the healings and the miracles that are out there are people that are in, you know, the Americas or Europe or something. They go into a third world country. They pray for somebody, like a finger grows back, or like just some crazy, like a bone heals itself or teeth come back, like all kinds of crazy stuff. You guys heard any of this? You guys are like, It'd be crazy if a finger grew back, would it not? But see, do you believe God could do it? Well, okay, guess not. Do you believe God could do that? Okay, all right. The reason why I think it is because God uses signs and wonders and even healing to affirm the message of the gospel. To affirm the message of the gospel. See, if they happened as consistently as they did in the apostles' time, then what we'd see is people, and we see this today, people chase after signs and wonders rather than being satisfied with the one who's on the other side and providing those signs and wonders, which is Jesus. And so here's the cool thing. Like, I've even seen it within the States. There was this really cool movement when I was in Reno, Nevada, where these young kids, they had a Christian, like rock band, like a screamo band, just like, but they were singing lyrics about Jesus. And it was awesome. Some of you guys are like, yeah, that can't be possible. It was, and it was great. And guess what they saw? As they moved into those scenes, they saw miracles, signs, wonders, and healings. It was amazing. Some of the testimonies these young men had were just mind-blowing. I believe that they were entering into an area with the gospel that hadn't been entered into yet. And that was affirming, those signs and wonders were affirming the message that some of these young men were preaching, which is the gospel message, which is the gospel message. Let me make my point. Hebrews 2:4 up on the screen says, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders, so he's bearing witness to by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. That's in context of how can we neglect so great a salvation? And then it says in Acts 2:2, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. So in other words, Jesus came with mighty works, wonders, and signs, and he was attested by God. In other words, he was verified. And I think that, so here's the crazy thing. If you want to see God do some crazy miracles and healings, try going to areas the gospel is not present in. Pray for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. He's ready and willing. But don't make those your main thing. Make the message of Jesus Christ, because the greatest miracle, the greatest healing is seeing someone get saved. Amen? Amen. I could go into some other things there. Like Mark 16 says, everyone who believes, these signs and wonders will follow. And Jesus even says that we'll do greater things, but it will be to confirm the biggest miracle of all, the message of salvation. If you have any questions about that, I can talk to you afterwards. So if you want to see the miracles, maybe you have that gift, the gift of healing or the gift of the miraculous. And go out in faith and jump into the wonder. I want to end in this last one on discernment. This one's an interesting one because the gift, it says in 1 Corinthians 12, and this is where we get the idea of the gift of discernment. It says in verse 10, another, the ability to distinguish or to discern between spirits. What I find interesting about this gift is discernment in and of itself is something that all Christians are called to. Now, what we've talked about throughout this study is that gifts are listed. They're not necessarily exhaustive. So the gift of discernment could be an actual gift. But as far as our list goes, it says a gift to distinguish between spirits. Look what it says in 1 John 4:1, which is this part of this gift. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And for many false prophets have gone out into the world. And I have had some people that have the gift of discernment around me, and it's been phenomenal. It's like, do I trust this? Can I trust this person? And the person that has the gift of discernment is just like, you might want to wait a little bit. It's like, okay. And so then we test the waters to see if this person is from God, see if they'll stick around and see if the words that they say are confirmed with the truth of God. But then all of us are called to have discernment. Look at Philippians 1:9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. He's preaching that to the church in Philippi. And so we're all called to be discerning. How do you know if you have this gift? Jump. Jump. What do I mean by that? I mean, just simply go, okay. Look into somebody, catch eye contact, and pray, God, give me discernment over them. And maybe God will give you a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge or a prophetic word over that person. Or they may give you discernment. But you'll never know unless you jump. So jump into the wonder. Faith, miracles, healing, and discernment. Remember what it felt like to believe. Remember running wild and living free. Remember when the magic was a mystery. Now all the fuss is just faith without the rush. Wait, did the rainbow fade? We won't see beyond our feet, staring down, afraid to leap. Go, jump into the wonder. Amen.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.